Welcome to this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Our hope and prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. During the past several episodes of FEA Today, we've taken the time to consider secular humanism, what we have defined as the intolerant religion of the man God. We looked at several of the manifestos and declarations that the secular humanists have produced over the last century and come to conclude that it is really in itself a religion that deifies man, as it rejects God or any kind of revelation of God to mankind. Secular humanism is rooted in what is known as naturalism. In essence, the only things that exist are the things that we can actually see, and the only things that really matter is nature around us. We are our own gods. We've considered the fact that secular humanism is really a conviction that any kind of dogma or ideology or tradition or anything like that is not simply to be accepted on faith. Instead, we are to commit to the use of critical reason, factual evidence, and what they define as scientific methods of inquiry for truth rather than faith, or the need to seek solutions to the problems of the world and to answers to important human questions from any kind of transcendent being. So we looked at the Humanist Manifesto 2000 primarily, and we considered the fact that this document warns of the danger of religious fundamentalism, those who believe in a God and that he has spoken, and those who root their values and morals in the truth of a religious, if you will, or sacred text. The Humanist Manifesto 2000, as we considered, also magnifies really the God of quote-unquote science. It also seeks to find and root one's living in atheistic ethical systems. It promotes a commitment to humanity as a whole as it lays out a planetary bill of rights and responsibilities, which in essence is really a socialist one-world type of government. And it laid out a new global agenda and the need for new planetary institutions. The manifesto closes by leaving the reader with a feeling of optimism about the future. As long as man looks within himself and mankind in general for salvation. I quote from the manifesto, "As humanists, we urge today, as in the past, that humans not look beyond themselves for salvation. We alone are responsible for our own destiny, and the best we can do is to muster our intelligence, courage, and compassion to realize our highest aspirations." This is the religion, if you will, of secular humanism, a religion that seeks to look to man himself as God, and a religion, in fact, that is very intolerant of those who do not embrace this atheistic system, this man-centered system. Well, in this episode of FEA Today, we want to take the majority of our time to really look at the biblical answer and consider what the Word of God has to say about this. Now, the first thing to understand is that the Bible predicts, it prophesies, it warns that this is exactly the very kind of religion, the religious system that will dominate the times in which we live before the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he writes, "This know also that in the last days perilous time shall come." And then the Apostle Paul lists a series of characteristics, and every single one is rooted in pride or love of self. In fact, that is the first characteristic listed here when the Apostle Paul writes, "This know also in the last days perilous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And God's answer to this, from such turn away. So God, of course, in his omniscience and sovereignty, knows and knew from the beginning that this would be the really ultimate end religion of the days in which we find ourselves, the last days or the end times, really this religion of self, self-love, self-admiration, and the rejection of God and the love of self. Well, God's word is not silent about the very things that the secular humanists and the manifestos and declarations say. God's word is not silent about the nature of man, the need of man, and the future of mankind. The secular humanist believes man is naturally good, that man needs to save himself through his grasp of science and technology, and that the future of mankind is one of hope and prosperity. Well, conversely, God's word teaches that man is naturally sinful, that man's salvation can only come through faith in Jesus Christ and his perfect finished work on Calvary's cross and his subsequent resurrection, and that the future of the unregenerate entails utter destruction of this planet and an eternity without God in the lake of fire. Notice in each of these instances, the belief of the humanists find itself in direct contradiction to the word of God. First of all, the Bible tells us man is not basically good. At the root of the humanistic belief system is the idea that man is basically inherently good. That is, man is not born with a sin nature. Due to his inherent goodness, man has been able to advance in the sciences and will use his own knowledge and scientific and technological inventions to unite the world and make it a place of peace and happiness and safety. And obviously, if man were inherently evil, this could never become a reality because greed, selfishness, and the like would serve as obstacles to this kind of goal. But because the humanist believes man is inherently good, he will desire what is best for others and live a predominantly selfless lifestyle. Well, God's word specifically declares time and again this kind of philosophy could not be further from the truth. The Bible clearly states that every aspect of man's nature is corrupt from his birth. That is, he's totally depraved. This includes his mind and intellect. Romans 1:28, 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us this. His will, Romans chapter 3, verse 11, and chapter 7, verse 20. His understanding is darkened, Ephesians 4, 17 and 18. And even our emotions are corrupt, Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. In fact, Romans chapter 5 describes mankind using the following terms. In verse 6, without strength. In verse 6, ungodly. In verse 8, sinners. In verse 10, enemies of God. We obtain the status as sinner by birth and deed. Romans 5 clearly details the fact that Adam's sin was credited to his offspring, all mankind. At the same time, every person actively commits sin as well. God's word makes this very clear that we are inherently sinful. Jesus said in Mark 7, from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. The Apostle Paul told the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 2, they had been made alive due to their faith in Christ, but that prior to their regeneration, they were dead in trespasses and sins. Paul adds, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our lifestyle, in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Jeremiah in the Old Testament, the prophet, he knew of the sinful nature of man through inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he wrote, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it?" Many other scripture passages reveal the natural state of unregenerate man. But I think these texts really suffice to paint an accurate picture of mankind from God's perspective. Yet it's not surprising that man views his own nature in a different light. For God's word says Satan has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe the gospel. And it adds that every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So the Bible says Number one, man is not basically good. Number two, the Bible says that man will not change the world. Despite the humanist belief that man can change the world through a one-world government and a one-world economic system, God says this world is currently reserved for judgment. He declares this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. After the Apostle Peter describes the fact that there will come mockers and scoffers in the end times, even denying that there was a promise of the coming of Christ, they will reject the truth, whereas they do not realize this world is reserved for judgment. The book of Revelation describes the events yet to transpire during this incredibly horrible seven-year tribulation period following the rapture of the church. Catastrophic pollution, worldwide chaos will destroy the environment. Great earthquakes, water turned to blood, famine, drought, death of much of the world's population, cosmological alterations, all of these things, many supernatural events included, will transpire that have never yet been known to mankind. I think the words of the Apostle Peter are especially relevant regarding the future of this earth. He says, "The day of the Lord will come, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements melt with fervent heat, the earth also, the works that are therein shall be burned up," 2 Peter 3:10. The judgment of this earth is reserved for God. The mission of mankind and even the church is not to save the planet or focus on world peace. God will one day create a new heaven and new earth. Man cannot and will not create it himself. Now, the fact that God will judge the earth and create a new heaven and earth doesn't mean that we should live recklessly or wastefully now. On the contrary, as stewards of God's creation, we should seek to responsibly utilize earthly resources and refrain from causing undue pollution on an already polluted world. But our hope must not rest in the transformation of the earth by man. Peter continues his writings by inspiration of the Spirit, telling the believer, "Seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God?" Peter answers his question in a twofold manner. First, live lives that honor Christ. And second, beware, lest we also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from our own steadfastness. So the Bible declares man is not inherently good. Man will not change the world. And finally, man cannot save himself. Despite the humanist belief that only man can save himself from his problems, God says only Jesus Christ is the answer to man's problems. Because God is holy and man is sinful, man cannot enter into the presence of fellowship or relationship of God, or even seek to have fellowship with him due to God's holy nature. In order to obtain peace with God and acceptance by him, we need to be clothed in the perfect, sinless righteousness of Jesus Christ, the propitiation, the wrath-removing sacrifice for the sins of the world. Man can do nothing of his own merit to save himself. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What man must do in order to come to the Father and be accepted of him is to receive God's gift, Jesus Christ, eternal life through Jesus Christ, by trusting in Christ's substitutionary death and resurrection for one's eternal well-being, and trusting in that, in him alone. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified or declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Contrary to the belief of the secular humanist, man does not have the answer to his own sin problem or to the problems of the world. The only answer can be found in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Well, if you'd like more information about this religion of secular humanism, what we call the intolerant religion of the man God, we invite you to ask for a free copy of our latest Foundation magazine. You can go onto our website, www.featoday.org. You can click up on the support bar and drag down to contact us. Simply send us an email, and we'll be happy to send you a free sample copy of Foundation Magazine that has much more of the documentation of the things we've been talking about in our last several episodes of FEA Today. Just go on to featoday.org, www.featoday.org. Find the support bar, scroll down to contact us, give us your name and address, and just say you'd like a free sample copy of the Foundation Magazine relating to secular humanism. I thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today, and until next time, may the Lord continue to bless you.